Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
At Maximum Mediocrity, people say things like,
I don't dress like this on the regular basis. This isn't my, you know, pooping uniform. This is not
fair. And they also say things like,
The nurses are usually either angels of mercy or whores.
Every episode is a new experience where you get to know people that aren't famous but should be.
Why am I facing Floyd Mayweather in the woods?
My co-host Morgan and I track down the people you didn't know you needed to hear from.
It's like hot sex in a mug.
We are the Maximum Mediocrity Podcast, and we are on all major podcasting platforms. We'll be waiting for you.
If you like music and you like podcasts and you like to laugh and you like to learn, you need to immediately subscribe to One Hit Thunder. Each week on the One Hit Thunder podcast, we dive deep into the story and back catalog of a one-hit wonder band or artist. From there, we have a good, healthy discussion as to whether they brought the one-hit thunder or were nothing more than a one-hit wonder. We have a huge back catalog, and we've done episodes on everything from Don't Worry, Be Happy and the Macarena to King of Wishful Thinking and Cumbersome. I promise you're going to love the show more than Jaquan loved getting tipsy, and even more than Bobby Boris Pickett loved making alternate versions of the Monster Mash. Subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to another episode of Horror Movie Night. This week we're talking about a movie that I picked. This one was me. And it is called Loch Ness Horror from 1982. So I'll open the floor, first of all. Any questions?
You know, I think the movie luckily was pretty clear and concise, so I don't have a lot of questions about the movie. Though, Matt, what the fuck?
So are you upset about this? No. Are you surprised by this?
No, but I do want to know. I want to know. I guess I'm still, there is always still an element of surprise a little bit.
Yeah.
I just need, just lay it on the line, buddy. Did you go? Were you on set? Yes. What happened?
I was there.
Are you familiar with this?
So what happened was, you've talked about this before as well, but I do love watching trailer compilations. And at one point I was looking at this trailer compilation and I saw just the most incredibly dumb trailer for a movie called Loch Ness Horror, and I thought, oh, I kind of want to see that. And almost as if God herself heard my request, like a month later I was at a horror convention and there on the VHS PS shelf was Loch Ness Horror, and I Beautiful. Said, well, I have to buy it. And it sat on the like I watched it, and the first time I watched it I was kind of like, yeah, that was fun, that was goofy, whatever. And I was like, maybe like I kept kind of going back and forth about it. Then I every once in a while there'll be those movies that I'm always like on the fence about, so I decide, all right, I'm just gonna sit down and watch some of those and see if any of them check enough boxes where I think we could do an episode. And I was watching it, and the one moment was so ridiculous that I took my phone, filmed my TV screen and posted it on TikTok with the question, should we discuss this on Horror Movie Night? And the comments that I did get were like a resounding, of course you should watch this.
Because like, it's terrible. And our listeners, this is the problem, Kyle. You don't understand yet, but you will very fucking soon. that right. people listen because they want us to hurt. And and like even the people that I think care about us, they're my enemy.
Yeah.
When it comes to the yeah. podcast, like they're great people outside of the podcast, but then when it comes mm-hmm. to horror movie night, they're like, "You need to suffer for my entertainment."
Yeah, you're just their puppet, Scott. That's all.
Yes, and they are the puppet master.
Oh shit! Which one are we gonna watch?
Which one is this?
We watched all the good ones. It's already happened. We've watched 1 through 4. You don't need to watch past
you
that.
You know, and I talk to you daily, and have talked yeah. to you more or less daily for the better part of a decade at this point, and I still can't tell when you're being serious or not about what a quote unquote good Puppet Master movie is, or what a good movie is in general, because you're like, oh, it's good for our show. Like, that means nothing. That's literal yeah. gobbledygook.
Look, I'll tell you something that Kyle's learning this firsthand. If you scroll through that letterbox ratings, it's all over the place. Because I know that I gave this movie about 1.5 stars more than Kyle did on Letterboxd. Because my ability to watch it and be entertained and chuckle at the shittiness will mm-hmm. always gain it a couple of stars yeah. in
and
my
I
review.
I gave it 1 star more than it deserved.
which was
1 star. But for similar, the sentiment is similar.
Yeah, well, because... That. This movie's bad. Like, I'm not going to sit here and be like, no, this movie's brilliant.
No,
it's really.
No, Matt, it's not about that. I think that you have a different scale because you're like, this movie would be fun in a group. And you yes. forget that the vast majority of the shit, that literal shit that we watch for this show, we watch alone. And yep. so the only positive that you could get from a viewing experience of Loch Ness Horror is lost on us. I mean, Kyle, did you watch it alone or did you make your poor wife and child watch it with you?
I made my poor wife watch it with me, who had a great time.
That's what I'm saying. It's a great... I think that this is... The thing that
but
makes
listen.
This movie work... Look, the movie's bad. What makes this movie work, and this is a thing I've talked about a million times, which is people really going all in on a bad idea, right? Like, they are so proud of this Nessie prop. They don't waste a single second of Nessie having screen time where that thing is not the main focus of what's going Dude, on. And it's so not that impressive of a creature effect.
They do it so much so that by the end, the last maybe 20 minutes of the movie, I'm like, so you're talking about a creature, a mysterious mystical creature that's never been seen. Like, has been maybe seen a few times, right? That's the whole idea of Nessie.
Just popping up all fucking day.
And it's giving everybody, anybody, anyone, one-eyed fucking people, like, an opportunity to see this thing. Like, any time of day and night? I don't know. It's like, it's fucking bomb. I was like, okay, so the whole mystique of Nessie is now gone because it's just there.
Well, you weren't entertained by a movie that starts off with a high action looking through a telescope from a safe distance scene to kick off the movie.
Was that stop motion or was that like in the giant claw when it was just military footage?
I think it was just stock footage, military yeah. footage. But we of course watched a really bad VHS rip of this.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I know that you and I watched a bad VHS rip on YouTube. I wonder mm-hmm. how much worse it was than Matt's shitty VHS PS rip, because
I'm sure
be that
it was
much
about
worse.
The same. Yeah, it was. It,
Everyone
this was
like squiggly lines.
This was clearly okay. So it was probably
except
better.
Nessie somehow. Nessie yeah. was yeah, clear. Nessie was,
okay, so it was definitely right. clearer than what you guys got. But I and don't get me wrong, I love VHS PS. I love the service that they provide. I feel like in the last 4 or 5 years, they've really started to care about making sure that their DVDs are quality. And this was very early in me buying from VHS PS, where it's just like, by any means necessary, get that bad boy out there for the public.
But that's the thing, is that I don't know if I want high quality VHS PS. Like, the whole mystique and attraction of that company's business model is that you have a digital copy that you can watch forever that's at that really questionable quality of the movies.
Let me clarify what I mean by that. Because they're not putting shit out on 4K or anything.
No, I know that.
So they're always trying to seek a good copy on VHS. So you still get like the pops and the lines, but it's at least like you can say it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But I think in the very beginning of their business model, it was not that case, because I've definitely watched a couple early VHS PHS tapes where it's like the bottom of the screen's up here and the top of the screen's down here a little bit, and it's like, all right, hopefully that fixes itself soon.
The crazy thing about this movie on that platform on VHS-PS is that not only is, like, even if they got the best quality that they could of this movie has all the attributes of a bad quality VHS-PS on baseline. So it's got a ton of Day for Night, which I guess looked up because I was not familiar with this director, but I guess he's like a schlock master. And this is one of his later films, if not his last film. But he has, like, it's stock footage, it's Day for Night, it's a couple other things that I had seen, but he is, like, known for doing that stuff. And this Day for Night, let me tell you, I didn't realize that maybe this movie was supposed to take place over a day or two. I thought it was, like, day, night, day, night. I didn't catch that either.
I thought that it was, like, weeks.
Nope, this is apparently 48 hours about, yeah. Over a 48-hour period. It's not a good movie.
Fun.
Again, it's a really bad movie, but it's a fun bad movie. I didn't
enjoy myself, Matt. I just want you to know.
Well, listen, let me tell you a little story, Scott. I was hanging out with a listener of the show, Eli.
He's not just a listener of the show. He's family.
He's family. He's friend. He's all of that stuff. And we were talking about Last Shark, and he goes, the funniest thing about Last Shark is that I re-listened to that episode, and Scott was not as into that movie at the time that you recorded that episode as he was retrospectively. Now, am I saying that Loch Ness R is going to have that transition? Probably not. It's a movie that's funny for about 5 minutes.
Yeah,
of it,
but
then
it's
there's
an hour
the rest
and 40.
Of it.
But Last Shark, here's the thing about Last Shark is I have watched it multiple times. I think I've watched it two more times since we did an episode on it.
Yeah.
And it has marinated in my skull for a couple years. And I'm assuming by the time this comes out, I'll have watched it in a group finally.
Yeah.
And I am pretty stoked because, I mean, I'm going to be tired as hell by that point, but I may be asleep. I'm not promising anybody anything.
I'm just going to go ahead and give a quick
oh,
crack.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I got a nip of Doors and in my Scares That Care shot glass. But
wow.
I got this because it's the cheapest and worst scotch that they have at the liquor store. And we watch the cheapest and worst Scottish, not really Scottish, people in this movie.
Wait,
the
are you trying to tell me that those accents weren't authentic?
I was going
to
ask you.
Did you not hear it
that
slip right into... She's the most Scottish woman from Branson, Missouri that I've ever met. She came straight out of Oklahoma in Branson and onto this set. And it shows.
Man, that theater kid joke just has legs for days.
Oh, I also learned to not have a half a pint of whiskey and just settle for the nip. I've learned my lesson from Red Queen.
There's definitely those moments. Her first appearance in this movie is so strange. It feels like it could have been written for, like, Napoleon Dynamite. It has no place in here.
She's the girl from Napoleon Dynamite, except with, I like her bangs a lot.
Yeah,
in the grand
the hair
2022
great
scheme of Horror Movie Night, I must comment on how much I love, how effusive I am about the feminine hairdos in this in the discussion.
But yeah, so Tina from Napoleon Dynamite with a Scottish accent girl comes down. And she goes,
wait, Tina?
Whatever, the girl from Waterworld.
Oh my God, she's the girl from Waterworld.
Yes, she is. She comes downstairs and she says, she's like, oh, you're American. Is it true that in America you can go to movies more than once a month and that you look at pornographic material? And he's like, yes. And then she just runs upstairs.
Away. But she does like the weirdest run where her arms don't move.
No.
I think that's what gives the Napoleon Dynamite vibe.
Yeah.
Definitely.
100%.
It just sets up that Scottish people are prude, I guess.
Yes.
Like,
I don't know what the movie's trying to say. But again, they love this prop. Prop keeps showing up. Kills a lot of... There's a pretty high body count in this movie for a mysterious, elusive Nessie.
Yeah. Dude, even the park rangers with machine guns for no reason can't take it down. I could not believe that they were trying to lift a parking gate, and then all of a sudden they whipped out their machine guns to shoot at Nessie. I was like, this isn't Border Patrol, like, in Scotland?
That scene is amazing for a couple of reasons. That's what I wrote down as the broad daylight attack, which, I mean, for all we know, that could have supposed to have been midnight.
Yes.
But
yeah, there's no, it's like 30 Days of Night. Where
it's that slow motion, because it's, I'm sure the shot of Nessie biting the dude in the shoulder was all of 5 seconds, but they slow that shit down to make sure that they can get a good minute and a half. And then the score is just straight up ripping off Psycho for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
It's like, I was like, this is out of control. But man, you have that. You have the sleeping bag scene. You've got the raft kill. There's definitely, they reuse the same footage of that Nessie head underwater a couple times. Mm-hmm. Where it's just like, it looks like they had no control over keeping that head stable in water, so it's just kind of like bopping around like it's trying to get back to the surface, and they're doing their best to keep it down.
It has to be in the same level of the Jaws mechanical shark, right? Like, it has to, they must have only gotten a couple shots, like, that they were able to use make it happen. Luckily, they did all the land stuff first, so they just, like, leaned into Nessie on land as much as they could.
And I think that it is, I think you're right, this movie is as good as Jaws. So,
that's what I said. That's verbatim exactly what I said. Yes.
The only other thing that I definitely want to make sure we bring up, I described this scene as the Jurassic Park fireside chat sequence, where someone is desperately trying to teach about Nessie, and this guy's just like, but how do they get it on?
Mm-hmm. And the wildest thing about that is that this movie scooped Jurassic Park by over a decade.
Yep.
Wild.
Michael Crichton had saw
fucking
something in this movie.
Steven Spielberg, that goddamn hack, just sitting there watching Loch Ness Horror.
And just taking notes.
Without a doubt. There's no doubt in my mind. Fun fact, those people canoodling at the fireside chat were actually Carly and I at 16, pretending that nobody noticed.
No one could tell.
I do like that the last sort of section, if not the last line, was Branson, Missouri, and the really rude American, for no reason, looking at the Loch Ness Monster's egg, and I think she asks, are you thinking what I'm thinking? To which I look over to Carly and say, are they going to drop it off at the fire department like it's an orphan child?
I thought you were going to say,
are they going to raise this baby like it's their own?
Oh yeah, no, it's like a family photo album of them just like pushing a stroller with a baby Nessie.
The credits rolls and it's just snapshots of them. Egg hasn't hatched. It's just them at the petting zoo
while Walking on Sunshine plays loudly in the background.
Yes,
they go into London and see Big Ben. It's fair. I was, you know, when this, I went in completely blind on this, but when their credit rolled saying that Nessie was created by two people, I was like, okay, like maybe there's potential for a great monster in this movie. And that wasn't the case, but it was very fun. I had a lot of fun with it.
It's just good, dumb. It's good, dumb entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
At Maximum Mediocrity, people say things like,
I don't dress like this on the regular basis. This isn't my, you know, pooping uniform. This is not.
And they also say things like,
The nurses are usually either angels of mercy or whores.
Every episode is a new experience where you get to know people that aren't famous but should be.
Why am I facing Floyd Mayweather in the woods?
My co-host Morgan and I track down the people you didn't know you needed to hear from.
It's like hot sex in a mug.
We are the Maximum Mediocrity Podcast, and we are on all major podcasting platforms. We'll be waiting for you.
Hey, do you have an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? Or do you have an already existing podcast that you want to take to the next level? Well, check out WeKnowPodcasting.com. From concept development to theme music to editing to logos, WeKnowPodcasting.com is a one-stop shop for all things pod. Don't hesitate to hit us up. We're very nice.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
So you picked this.
Mm-hmm.
What would you be tormenting your friends with after Loch Ness Horror?
Literally a similar, almost identical movie that I've also gone back and forth about picking because I actually have nostalgia tied to it, so I won't get too deep into it, but a little claymation Nessie film called Crater Lake Monster from, I want to say, the late 70s. Similar
you
to
haven't
Loch
talked
Ness,
about that on the show, have you?
No. This was one of the first times I really got duped by a VHS cover. Like the VHS, if you look up the VHS cover for Crater Lake Monster, that shit looks tight. That's not what it looks like in the actual movie.
Oh, that. Oh, you have talked about this garbage on the show before.
Yeah, no, I mean, the cover looks like it could be the album cover of like a Viking metal band. But that was not what I got with this. Also, the Loch Ness Horror cover is really sweet. But
they saved their entire budget to do Loch Ness Horror posters.
Art. Yeah, posters. but how about you, Scott, thank you so much for asking me. What about you? Do you have a double feature?
I do have a double feature. Now, I have two. So we would start with Loch Ness Horror, and then we'd have like a little intermission where we kind of warm ourselves up to better content by watching the Loch Ness Monster episode of the Creepshow TV show. Do you guys see that episode? I think it was season 2.
No, I missed that.
It's not a great episode, but it's fun. It's very well done. It's like definitely of all of the episodes I've seen, I think it is the lowest budget one. But in a charming way. And then, so you kind of get yourself out of the Loch Ness Horror vibe. And then you go with stupid asshole Americans getting their comeuppance and you watch American Werewolf in Paris.
Boom. Love it.
Of course, Matt Kelly is all about that.
Kyle?
So I'm going to go ahead and go with another mythological creature.
Cryptozoological
creature film that is bad in its own way. And it's a movie called Big and Hairy. It's a TV movie about Bigfoot playing basketball and from 98. And I'm just going to say that that's my double feature because if we're watching one, whichever one we start with, Doritos has been started. And the night is young, so whichever way you slice it, it's going to be a great double feature.
Yeah, you opened up a bag, you got to finish it.
You got to finish
it. That's not how Doritos work, Matt. Maybe like Doritos, but not Doritos.
And yeah, I mean, yeah. I just always assume we're talking about the chips at all times.
At all times.
So I did want to mention this because it was almost going to be a double feature, and then I thought, no, I'm not going to make people watch that. Kyle, I think you probably
Braveheart?
Have seen this. Yes. No. not Paul Verhoeven. That's not the person I'm thinking of. Who's the guy who did Grizzly Man? Werner Herzog made a mockumentary called Beneath Loch Ness, where it shot like a very serious documentary where Werner is trying to find the Loch Ness monster. And for 90 minutes, it's played very, very straight. And then in the last 10 minutes, Nessie attacks the ship and he falls underwater and you get like this shot of like the Nessie floating past the camera and shit. And it would have been a great 15-minute short. Like, it did not need to be a feature-length movie. But like the concept, it's like, oh man, if this was like an episode of like a new version of Tales from the Crypt or Creepshow, it would have been perfect. But feature-length, maybe not so much.
Oof. Yeah, that's rough.
All right, so we got double features down. Is there anything else we talk about on this show?
We also have to talk about what did we watch. And Matt, why don't you tell us what you have watched, listened to, read, or otherwise enjoyed in the past week?
So I'm not even halfway. I'm about a fifth of the way through attempting to watch all 11 seasons of MASH. Oh, and God. I've had to talk about MASH on 3 different podcasts now. Every single time I reach out to Ashley Victoria Robinson to do any podcast, she always responds with, "Can I talk about MASH?" Because it's her favorite show of all time.
Is it her fault?
Sort of. Okay. She even told me, she's like, "Look, if there was a MASH Halloween movie, I would have picked that for Horror Movie Night." I would have found
the Coven.
But I like old humor. It definitely is stuff that reminds me of my grandfather and stuff like that. But I got to tell you, I am kind of taken aback, right? You're watching the show. It's obviously a 70s show, which does mean that there are problematic elements. There's stuff that didn't age well. Pretty much any person who isn't white is playing a Korean person, regardless of what their ethnicity is. So that's not a great look. But to then simultaneously have, like, I think it's like episode 6, someone rolls in and uses the like G word slur, and immediately the main character's just like, "You say that word again over here and you can get the hell out." Like, it's like, it depicts these characters as being like very like against that type of light. Like, it's weird in the sense of, like, you know, watching it in 2022, you're like, "Oh, you probably shouldn't say that word at all." But then I'm like, man, for 1976 to like put a stand against using racial slurs, like at that point, for doing more than one episode about the bigoted Republican member of the team trying to out a gay soldier and them fighting for equality, like, is like, that feels really progressive by 1973 standards, like in kind of a big way. So it's one of those things where, yes, a lot of it hasn't aged well, but simultaneously, a lot of it is way more forward thinking than any of the other shows that were being put on television in the 70s. So it's definitely an interesting thought experiment, and it taps into what I love. Obviously, I love stuff like Scrubs. I really like that it will be this goofy, wacky comedy with a laugh track, and then like a switch flips out of nowhere and it gets very serious and like doesn't shy away from, like, these dudes are in a war that they don't want to be in. They don't want to be there. They hate that they're there. They would do anything to come back home. And the laugh track goes away. I know that I had read somewhere that the creator of the show didn't want there to be a laugh track at all. The studio insisted, and his one conceit was, "I will allow you to give me a laugh track, but we will not ever have a laugh track when they are in surgery. Like, I don't care. Even if they make jokes, we cannot have people laughing while someone is dying on a table in front of these characters." So it is a pretty interesting time capsule. And I'm enjoying the ride. It's 268 episodes, which I did the math the one day. You could watch the entire run of MASH twice before you could listen to the run of Horror Movie Night once, which is kind of insane to think about.
I think that their production value is slightly higher than ours, though.
Just a little bit.
But so MASH, check it out. It's a little known show that no one's ever heard of.
Yeah. Kyle, you want to follow up?
Yeah, I'll also jump on a show. I have been watching, season 14 of Drag Race? I'm behind. I really fell out of love with Drag Race for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Same.
It didn't feel... Well, RuPaul feels a little problematic at times now. Like, Ru just is sort of like... it's like capitalism, like, yes, yeah, capitalism ruins Rue in a lot of ways, it feels like. I shouldn't say capitalism, but capitalism ruined Rue. And I think the production of the show felt a little like fucking monotonous. But this season, obviously a winner has been chosen and we're just catching up, and I already know who the winner is, but I don't know any other beats of the show or any other like major points. So Carly and I are just watching it for the enjoyment of it. It's just, it doesn't feel as forced as some of those other past couple of seasons. And, like, you know, UK is its own thing. Canada is a lot of fun because Rue's not on it. So I really liked Canada. I liked Canada a lot. UK kind of annoyed me come season 2. But this one feels a little bit back to form. I'm enjoying it, and we're just throwing it on when we have time. You know, I haven't watched any movies or anything. I've been listening to a lot of music, but we'll get to that another time. But RuPaul's Drag Race has given me a little bit more joy this season than.
I haven't even heard the Fright School guys talk about it this year, yeah. So I feel like this has definitely been the least watched season
and
of RuPaul's Drag Race.
I think that Dragula really stepped it up,
yeah.
For in their most recent season, that people were like, oh, there's alternatives to this. You
yes.
know, it's like enough time has passed where there are alternatives. There's alternative drag content to RuPaul's Drag Race that you
yeah.
can watch and
yeah.
enjoy.
Especially because
you know,
it's so. Like there is some. There's some rough edges will be the safe way to say with
yeah.
RuPaul. They may have yeah. said some things that weren't the best about a community that should probably be getting a lot more support from the drag community than
no
they get
shit.
Sometimes. God, what have you been watching, reading, listening to, etc.?
I've been saving this one. I didn't watch it this week, but I have been waiting to compliment Loch Ness Horror with something that gave me the same vibe. I was at my parents' house for Easter, and I found a tape.
Uh-oh.
More fucking dinosaurs. I've mentioned
yes.
this before, haven't I?
Yes,
I didn't
you
remember
have.
The name of it, but
yeah,
I found my copy of More Dinosaurs. I love the fact that the production company is Twin Tower. That just shows you. Distributed by Twin Tower Enterprises Incorporated, Studio City, California, 1986. Midwich Entertainment Incorporated.
How long is that runtime on that?
I want to say
20 minutes.
30 minutes. Yeah, it's 30 minute runtime. I realized in rewatching it for the first time in 30 years, easily, probably more like 34 years, I'd say. I mean, I was very young when I would watch this. This was one of those few tapes that we had that I would watch again because I was allowed to mm-hmm. because it was only 30 minutes long, right? It is worse for wear, but in a loving way. I don't know. I should probably digitize this before it completely turns to dust.
You're saying VHSPS doesn't want it?
I mean, VHSPS needs to have it. This is more quality than Matt's drug
yeah.
PSA. In rewatching it, I realized that I think this is my expectation. This was the first piece of monster content of my life because it's these two guys that are like, it's this guy, they're sitting in a like a basement study with like, you know, like the wood panel lined walls, but it's not actually wood panel. It's just the, you know, the cheap stuff. And they both have gigantic Coke bottle glasses on. And the brunette guy is like, you're going to go on an adventure to find more dinosaurs. But as the blonde guy goes on his safari to find more dinosaurs, because I didn't realize as a child, but this was the sequel to Dinosaurs. The brown-haired guy is turning into a dinosaur. There's one point where like he scratches his face with basically like a raptor claw. And then he's slowly turning into a dinosaur. And I think that this might be the nucleus of who I am as a person.
Story.
Yes,
yeah, that's amazing.
I couldn't believe that it was still there.
I was almost positive because I knew that the one tape that I had acquired called Invasion of the Dinosaurs also came under another name, and I was almost positive that is what you were going to talk about. It's not, but I will send you Invasion of the Dinosaurs.
No, you won't.
That you'll get a kick.
Just give it to me when I see you.
No, I'm not giving you the tape, brother. Yeah. I'll send you the digitized version of. I'm sorry, I didn't say it was a tape. I didn't say it was a tape, but I will send you the. it's a prized possession.
I don't need the tape. It's much easier to watch like a.
I will send you the digitized version. Yeah.
Thank you.
And it's
another half an hour, and it ends with an amazing song about dinosaurs.
What listeners don't know is that I am now the proud owner of a 4K. Copy of Demon Wind, thanks to the one and only Kyle Klaus.
Yeah,
what is your middle name again?
Klaus Christoph is what I told people in elementary school to be a fucking again edge lord. There's a lot of edging here. What an asshole. No, luckily, fucking thank God for my wife. I took on part of her name, so now I have at least a T in there to throw off the monotony. No, my middle name's Robert. Just for the fucking record,
all right,
it's Robert. Right, and my social security number is.
Yeah, please. All right. So last thing, we got an email. This is from August of 2001. So we're officially past a year old email. Ooh. Yeah, we're getting there.
2001?
2001. Oh, sorry, 2021. 2021.
It took way too long for you to revise that statement.
Whatever. I'm there. So this is from Jason. He said, new fan / never have I ever. He said, hey, guys, I've been listening for a while now. Love the show. This is specifically for Matt, though. You asked for people to talk about the TV show Never Have I Ever, and I'm your guy. I just finished both seasons of that and all of Atypical with my daughter, who's 16. They were both fantastic. My daughter's a night owl, and I don't get home from shows until the small hours of the night, so we watch stuff that she picks when we do have time together. We also watched the anime Death Note a while ago, and it was pretty rad. I think if you love horror and comedy, then psychologically they scratch the same itch. By the way, my sister-in-law does special effects for horror movies. She did Wally's Wonderland a while back, which I know you guys lean more towards the classics, but I'd love to hear you do an episode on it because that movie's batshit crazy. Mm-hmm. Anyway, love the shows. I will be getting one of those t-shirts for horror movie night that you talk about on the episodes. Here's to another 5 years. And P.S. I'm a metal fan from way back when, and I absolutely love your theme song. Horns up for whoever wrote it. So Scott. Oh,
thank you. I did great on the theme song.
No, so Scott, you've got a fan of the theme song, which to this day I still don't think I know all the words to that song.
How? It's not hard to understand.
There's one line that I always like. I'm like, what is he saying there? Let's break down the lyrics real quick because this seems like a fine time to do it.
Okay, so a killer's on the loose.
Killer's on the loose. There's nothing you can do.
A sickening stench. A ghastly scene, you almost wretch.
That's okay. I got the almost wretch. I didn't know what the lead into that was.
I knew that.
Ghastly scene, you almost wrench. No happy ending. No happy ending.
The monsters win.
The monsters win.
A spray of blood as screams begin.
You won't put up a fight. It's horror movie night.
Yes.
Horror movie
night. Get comfortable in your grave. Flickering screens enslave. You won't put
up that's
a fight.
Okay. That may be the part that I'm like, I don't know what
he's saying. We got to get this together for our live performance.
Yeah, we're going to have to do it. Scott, live stream. Yeah, you're on the hook to do a live performance of it.
Acoustic.
Yeah, I've got a banjo.
I'm going to bring my amp, my guitar. I'm going to bring.
I got a practice
everything.
Amp. What are
you... Yeah, man. I know exactly what your practice amp sounds like. I remember when we used to do Matty Morphin Power Rangers.
It's so good. The only other thing that I wanted to pull from that email real quick to quickly talk about is, yes, we do have Horror Movie Night t-shirts. You can find them if you go to hmnpodcast.com. There's a store button that will link you up. We're also on Etsy and was it TeePublic? Is
we're
that
on
TeePublic. Some...
Public. And the TeePublic
and there's
stuff
some exclusives.
Is exclusive.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you can get a sweet Blood Hook shirt that was designed by Benji.
That. Yeah, man. I love my Blood Hook shirt.
Yo,
I wear it.
Are you kidding me? This is news to me.
Yeah, it says there's a Blood fishing Hook shirt is rude.
Okay, so Blood Hook's been talked about. Okay,
yeah.
I'll take that off.
Yeah, that is so sad that you weren't here for that because Blood Hook is definitely one of the things I am most proud of bringing to the show.
Yeah. It's a fucking great show.
For me, it's Loch Ness Monster. So
that you
that
can't
was,
get the name right.
Yeah, that was the Loch Ness Horror from 1982, as picked by me. Tune in next week for even more Horror Movie Night. I believe Scott's up on the docket, and from what the link was that I just got before we hit record, pretty excited. Not going to lie, pretty excited.
If I can give the listeners one hint, the thing that these two have in common is what I like to call the boom of doom.
Buzz off, Scott. So as always, shoot us some emails, hmnpodcast@gmail.com. Obviously, we've been reading them on the air, but we're up to August of last year, so we're getting close to where your emails will get read pretty quickly. And also, we're getting geared up for Listener Submitted Month, so if you got a movie that you've always thought, yo, those dudes should talk about that shit, now's the time to submit that email to us. We've completely erased all of the emails from last year. So if your movie didn't get picked last year, feel free to try again. I know that when I was scrolling through the emails, someone did request what we're talking about next week. So, you know, we got there sort of. And as always, hit up our Patreon, patreon.com/HMN podcast for tons of great content, including maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll talk about cryptozoology. So tune in for all of the good horror movie night jazz every Thursday night.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
At Maximum Mediocrity, people say things like,
I don't dress like this on the regular basis. This isn't my, you know, pooping uniform. This is not
And they also say things like,
The nurses are usually either angels of mercy or whores.
Every episode is a new experience where you get to know people that aren't famous but should be.
Why did my face say Floyd Mayweather in the woods?
My co-host Morgan and I track down the people you didn't know you needed to hear from.
It's like hot sex in a mug.
We are the Maximum Mediocrity Podcast, and we are on all major podcasting platforms. We'll be waiting for you.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.